Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I'm going to take a step back today in this radio show to reflect on some of the things that have been going on throughout the years. We are living in a country right now that is so frustrated, so dysfunctional, so messed up. The economy is sky high. Everybody's going through all kinds of depressions, economic depression and mental illnesses and addictions and hatred, racism, division. All these things are happening. I don't know. It's almost as though we're creating our own problems in this world, but especially in this country. Because in this country, we have problems that no other country has, at least not as bad. We have mass incarceration. We're the only country in the world with that. We have anger and hatred and racism. Every single day we're hearing now about a death, shootings, vandalism, store break-ins. We're working amongst people we don't even know if we can trust. Advocates distrusting advocates. Or advocates siding with advocates in their clique, in their circle, without knowing anything about the people that they're going against, when we're supposed to all be for the same cause, trying to release prisoners, giving them a second chance, or the wrongfully convicted, getting them out of prison, but trying to improve the prison system, the penal system, criminal justice reform. And then many of you who have loved ones inside that expect everyone else to do the work for you, instead of trying to get involved in some of these organizations that are trying to work on the prison reform, these organizations, including legislative members who are trying to also decrease this mass incarceration that we have in the country. I've gotten to the point where I feel sometimes that no matter what's done, I can't change people. I can't. You know, we're amongst a lot of evil spirits in people. And we're amongst a lot of people that are so insecure, they have to have their cliques, you know, like they're still in elementary school, junior high, or high school. And you can't go up against something like that. And it's not even worth it, because we know what we're dealing with. You know, when we're trying to work in unity, when we're trying to interact with people who are trying to take over whatever coalitions that they're in from those they feel are less important than them. There are coalitions out there that will have the weaker ones do all the hard work, you know, keeping the databases, setting up the meetings, doing all this, while the other ones are talking and sharing information they get from here, a prisoner here or there. But we're not seeing unity, even in coalitions, the way it should be. We're not seeing diversity the way we should. I remember telling someone one time from an organization that works on sentencing to watch this coalition, because you watch and see how it turns out. Those who are not even investments in the prisons, no loved ones in the prisons, no nothing, are the ones that are going to control everything. We have a president that's sending all this funding over, all this machinery, everything over to another country when his own country's falling apart. We have division amongst the division. And you know what? I've been watching the news the last couple of days, and all I'm hearing about is shootings in the Boston area. And I'm hearing about shootings in other states, New York, California, all over the place. And a lot of them are young people. Where are the role models? Where are the role models for these kids? They're too busy trying to act like kids themselves, getting in their little cliques. When we should be showing these kids a good example of how to work in unity to see something positive happen. But instead, a lot of people use other people in a negative way to get what they want, to satisfy their motives. I'm not the most well-liked person in the world because I'm the type of person that I'm honest. I tell it like it is. And there's people in coalitions, there's people out there even in legal services that they're not like that. They don't want somebody that's honest in this getting things out there because they want to continue with their farce. They want to continue with their phony ways. These are the things that are happening in this country. These are the things that are happening. And this is why nothing's getting done, or very little is getting done. Because the wrong people are in control of a lot of these things. Not only are the wrong people in control of a lot of these things, but also a lot of parents are not out there fighting for their sons or daughters. They're not out there trying to make a positive change in the penal system. I don't even know if they're signing petitions. I've been seeing things coming through about people in prison who have had their faces battered in. You know, there's one in, I think it was in Indiana or New York or Florida, someplace out there, where it showed a normal person, a prisoner, on the floor, curled up like a baby, bones showing from lack of food. And the sister was crying out for help, for someone to help him. I shared it on Facebook when I saw it, and I'm hoping other people would share it as well. But a lot of people on Facebook, they like to check off like some kids check off like, but not do anything about it. You see it there, you see it's an emergency, you see it's urgent, you see somebody hurting so bad, their human rights have been violated. Share it, get it out there, make it go viral. Sometimes we get tired of the fight. I've been advocating for the last 25 years. It's getting to the point now where a lot of the real advocates that I used to network with, they've either passed on or they retired from what they were doing. They just can't do it anymore. They call it burnout. I stepped down from my organization in 2014 after founding it and running it since 2004. And three of my volunteers took over. And there was a young man from Pennsylvania, William Grigsby, a scam artist, came to Massachusetts. I gave him a $300 Visa card because he claimed he didn't have money. But what happened was the next day, I mentioned to my volunteers, the board members, and to Bill Grigsby, it won't happen again. Next time you come this way, you make sure you have money. He claimed he had to go to the hospital to have some work done on his head. I contacted Boston, the hostels, and I set it up for him to have a place to stay. This is a young man that goes by Dr. William Grigsby. But my volunteer, those on the board, Anchor Jane, he was our attorney at the time, he thought I was being too harsh on my volunteers. At this time, I was so burnt out, I said, you know what? I said, he can take over. I'm stepping down. And then after a few months, they found out he was messing up so bad, claiming to have been from Wernersville, Massachusetts, instead of Wernersville, Pennsylvania. Instead of letting me know what happened, they terminated my organization, registered it out in California under a new tax exempt, and they put down that they founded it in 2004. All illegal. I contacted the state of Massachusetts, and I got it running back up. But this time around, I didn't do national. I just focused on Massachusetts first-time offenders and those whose civil rights are violated. If I had a lawyer, I probably would have sued Jordan Rosenberg, Anchor Jane, William Grigsby, Daniel Sadler is now the president of New Vision Organization out in California. He volunteered briefly with us when I had the organization nationwide. But Jordan Rosenberg, Anchor Jane, they all came in at 2011, yet they have it on their website that it was founded in 2004 or 5. These are the kind of things that happen in this country. The country is full of corruption, lies, deception, abuses, violations. And the ones that hurt are the ones that try to be honest. They try to do everything right. The prisons are full of men and women who have been lied to, used, deceived. And that's why I say there are victims behind those prison walls, just as there are in the communities. And many of the people that caused them to fail and to fall are on enjoying their lives, moving on and enjoying their lives. My heart goes out to those, the true victims, the victims that didn't lie, deceive, use others. They just happened to be the in the wrong places at the wrong time, where they had to take the brunt of somebody else's evil doing. I say it all the time, prisoners should not be stereotyped, because there's a story behind each situation. And people, I'm sorry to say it, but many of you judge without even knowing the individuals. Many of you judge based on what your friends are telling you, or your, or the media is telling you. And the media only gets one-sided stories. If anyone wants to know the truth about what goes on in the prisoner's life, in their hearts, in their minds, in their souls, visit them in the prisons. Families Against Mandatory Minimums has been around since 1991. And they are nationally known to do a lot of good. And they've been trying to encourage people, everyone, to stop going, especially legislative members, government officials, to stop going into the prisons and meeting with these prisoners, asking them, talking to them like human beings, getting the truth. Many of them can prove what they're saying, but they just haven't had a voice for so many years to be able to tell their side of the stories. Legislative members are being encouraged by FAM, Families Against Mandatory Minimums, so many others, to stop going into the prisons and meeting with these prisoners at least 3 times a year. Unannounced visits to the prisons. Random visits. So that not only does the Department of Corrections know that they are being monitored, but also to get the truth out. Because there are many politicians in this day and age throughout the country that are talking about criminal justice reform, prison reform. And yet they don't know what's going on behind those prison walls. They don't know anything about it. How can you advocate for prison reform when you're not meeting with the prisoners to find out what they have gone through, what they're going through? As I say, it's like prisoners being let out of prison after so many years, 20 years, 25 years, coming out to a community that they don't even know anymore. It's so many changes have happened. I was born and raised on Cape Cod. I see Cape Cod on the news now. I don't think I would recognize it if I went on there. I don't think I would know all the streets that I used to go down. And I worked for the Department of Social Services. I knew Cape Cod like the back of my hand, from the bridge, Sagamore Bridge, Bond Bridge, right up to Provincetown. But yet, it's changed so much. And the people, the minds of the people are all different. All different. When people are getting ready to be released from prison, there should be something in place for them. Someone should be building apartments or building rooms for these people when they come out. Someone should be helping them get jobs. I used to help some of our clients with their resumes, helping them to put together a resume writing a letter on their behalf to the thrift shops and to the retail stores, asking that they help with allowing them to have some free clothing to be presentable when they go looking for a job. And they would get it. We look at these kids in school, in the vocational schools. There was a time when they used to go out to homes, to build homes in the communities. The carpentry, the electricians, the masons. Their professors, their teachers would go with them. And they would build one house a year. We look in the cities of Boston and New York. We see all these built-in buildings like ghetto, windows broken out, the buildings not used, dilapidated. Allow these vocational trainers, these kids in school, to do hands-on work. Take them out to these places. Work something out with the city council or the government in some way. Work something out that the kids would build these, rebuild, renovate these destroyed buildings. Renovate, make them useful. And then let these prisoners also help with the building of them when they come out and give them places in these buildings. There's one in Brockton, Massachusetts. The building is so big, the windows have been busted out. The building's been vacant for years and years. And I used to go there, and every time I walk by there, or drive by there, I'd say, why isn't somebody doing something with it? It was big enough to house those coming out of prison. It was big enough to have offices in there, substance abuse counseling in there, mental health counseling in there. It was big enough to have rooms for these people coming out. It was big enough to have a gym and even a spa. Because when people are involved in these type of activities, they feel better about themselves. They feel a lot better. It doesn't make them think negative. It doesn't make them want to go out and do crime when they're seeing that people care and they're seeing that their whole body, their whole minds are being refreshed. Have trainers go in there. I see these homeless shelters where these people go into homeless shelters. These shelters are getting all this money to house people at nighttime, put a roof over their head at night, kick them out in the morning. And where are they? They're on the streets, on the sidewalks, just sitting there, talking to one another, walking around in circles. Some of them get involved with drinking, and they can't go back to the shelter in the evening when it's time to go back because they've been drinking. Why not bring volunteers in there, retired professionals, retired counselors, retired lawyers, retired social workers? Bring them in during the day. Let these people stay inside and let all these professionals, these retired professionals, work with these people. Prepare them for jobs or whatever. Next to the homeless shelter, they built some apartments. And these were for men that were in homeless shelters that were in the military. They built these little apartments so that these people would not have to be in a homeless shelter, but now they would have their own little apartment. Why can't they do that for everybody that's homeless? Go into these homeless facilities and work with them while they're in there. Occupational therapist. Job center. Bring in people that can help them apply for jobs, that can advocate for them. Social workers. I remember, and I mentioned this before, there was a time when they said when a child turned 5 years of age, the mother would have to go out to work. The government would pay for the daycare, but the mother had to go out to work. So what happens? When they plan these things, when they come up with all these grand old ideas, they don't think through everything. There were mothers that didn't drive, didn't have driver's license. There were daycares that opened after the mothers would be at work. There were so many issues that they had to iron out, that they had to figure out. You can't have success in helping somebody if you don't have the plan in place, 100%. People are going into prison and they're given harsh sentences, life without parole. And yet, there are prisoners who are being denied everything. Some of them having their jobs taken from them to give to another person, another prisoner. Racial issues come into this play too. Jobs being taken from a person of color to give to a person that isn't of color. Families spreading rumors about individuals when they're not true because they were affected by it. There's so many things that people have to look at behind those prison walls to those prison doors, because everyone should have the right to education even while incarcerated. Everyone should have the right to voting even though they're behind the prison walls. No one has the right to take away someone's citizenship, someone's right to vote, when the crime had nothing to do with going against their country. Yet we have people that did go against the country, trying to destroy the Capitol, causing Capitol Police to commit suicide after, because of the traumatic activities that took place, the traumatic results. Are these people having their rights taken away from them to vote? Some of them a slap on the hand. Some of them a year or two in prison. Some of them even being resistant to sitting down and meeting with the committee, because they know if their former leader gets back in again, they're going to be free anyway. We have a weak, weak government. We really do. We have people in place that they don't even know the powers that they have behind those titles. There are legislative members right here in Massachusetts advocating for some prisoners, and they don't even get the acknowledgement to return the calls to them when they call the Department of Corrections or the prisons. Some of them have said, we've tried over and over again to call there and they don't return our calls. Who does that? And then if you have a problem with one of the legislative members, the others turn against you. There's an author of a book. I won't even say his name because he's not worth mentioning the name to give him any publicity. But he was two-sided. He went to school with one prisoner. And he knows the prisoner. He never hung around with the prisoner. He just went to school with them. But when he talked about it and wrote an article, had an article put in the newspaper that he wanted to interview this prisoner, because this prisoner was known as a good person, never did anything to any harm to anyone, never got into trouble, never was involved with substances, went to school, was in college, and got involved for the first time in a relationship involving opposite race. And this author put in there that he and this prisoner double dated, which was a lie because he never associated with this prisoner outside of school. So when the parent asked him why he did it, he said, oh, I was talking about Matt, my friend Matt and me. Well, if he was talking about, I don't know where that ever came up, because there was no other mention other than the fact that we double dated. When the parent asked him to have it redacted in the newspaper, he never did. To this day, it's still in the newspaper. We double dated. That was to discredit. That was to discredit this incarcerated individual. So that if and when he does have an opportunity to go back to court for a post-conviction, for a possible release, he's discredited this individual because he said this individual and he double dated. When in fact, the individual had never been in a relationship prior to the first and only relationship he was in, he was lied to, deceived, and cheated on. That was the first and only relationship. So there are people out there that are so insecure. They want all this credit. You know, they want all this, the pats on the back. They're insecure. They're insecure. And they will do anything to get that attention, even to lie, to say that they were double dating, that they were friends with somebody that they were never friends with outside of school. This person was a very sharp person. Maybe that's why he was feeling the way he was doing. Maybe that's why he wanted to have everybody think that he was doing double dating or whatever. I don't know. I still could not figure it out other than the fact that he needed that attention. So he's going to lie and cause somebody else that's already incarcerated to be discredited. But going back to prisoners being behind those prison walls, serving such long sentences, how does one get help when they're being denied everything? And yet we're talking about abolishing life and life without parole. How do people like this get an opportunity at freedom if they have nothing to show for all the years that they've been in? Not by their own choice, but because the prison officials, Department of Corrections, purposely prevents them from progressing while incarcerated. As an advocate, I have learned that every time I share things, and I want to do extensive research, and I like to share every resource that I can find that can be helpful to others, to those who have loved ones in prison, to those who are formerly incarcerated, to those who are trying to find a way to help others. I share everything I find. And yet, we have people all over Facebook, social media that look at it and like it, but they don't do anything. They let it stay there. They let it go stale. So others are asking, what do we do? What do we do for our loved ones? How can we help this one or that one? These are advocates out there that could be helping just by sharing what they receive. But they don't. Instead, a lot of advocates, they get jealous because somebody is doing something more than they are, better than they are. Or someone's just doing something where they're not. There's more to advocacy work than just sending emails back and forth to one another, patting one another on the back. But there's a lot of advocates out there who don't advocate enough because they don't think that they can be of any good or because they are trying to just get over what they've gone through if they've been in prison. A lot of them say when they come out, they're going to help with the advocacy work. They're going to do so much. But yet when they come out, they disappear. You don't hear anything from them. In a way, I can understand what they're going through because if I was in prison all those years being treated the way a lot of these prisoners are being treated, I probably would want to forget about it too. Get over it. Try to forget everything that happened. But it's not that easy if you have a heart. It's not that easy to get over it when you know somebody else behind those walls is still going through what you're going through. The Department of Corrections is a place that nobody should be in. No Department of Corrections in this country. I started the petition to abolish prisoners, to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. And again, it has probably around 700 signatures. But when we have 2.3 million people in prisons and jails, why should there only be a little less than 700 signatures? When everyone's complaining about their loved one and what they're going through. And members of society say, why should we spend our taxpayer dollars on long-term residential treatment facilities? Well, listen, audience, You're spending much more on the penal system. You're spending much more on these prisoners that are in their prison cells serving life and life without parole sentences. The taxpayer dollars are not going to be going away, but they will be lessened if there was long-term residential treatment facilities. There's so much you can save, and there's so much help you can do by signing that petition to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. Go to change.org. Look it up. Sign the petition. Because all that's happening with all these people in prison, mass incarceration, is that a lot of corporations, a lot of people who have investments in the prison and the penal system are making much, 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 much money off of it. They're making money off of it. That's why you hear the saying all the time, prisons for profit. And now they're making it so that incarcerated individuals have to buy everything from the penal system. Many cannot purchase things outside the prison. They're opening up their own aftercare resources for those that are coming out to keep them under the guise of the Department of Corrections, under the penal system. So the money's still flowing back and forth with all of these corporations and these individuals investing in these prisons. We wonder why there's so many wealthy people in this country today and the middle class are getting more poverty-stricken. It's because the middle class are not doing enough to prevent these corporations from making all of this money. There was a time when all of these things were happening because they wanted to destroy the people of color. But now it's gotten so, so bad and so profitable with these corporations that it's happening now to people of the Caucasian race. So you can sit back and you can ignore all this, but know that it's going to affect you and your homes at some point in time. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. The middle class are getting poor. That's how it is. The abuses going on in the prisons, the deprivation, the lies, corruption, all of that starting to affect everybody behind those prison walls. Well, at least everyone that is trying to serve their time without incident. There are a lot of good people behind those prison walls. There are a lot of people that know they made their mistakes. They're trying their best to deal with it, to cope with it. They're trying their best to do whatever programs they can do to get their mind off the incarceration while they're trying to better themselves even more so. And we in society need to change. We need to change more than the people behind those prison walls because we have a lot of young kids growing up and they're looking for role models. We're not the role models out here in the communities anymore. We're too busy judging. And the adult males are too busy walking around with their pants down to their behind with all this vulgar language and these rap music. Those people in the prisons that have been in for 20, 25 years and more, those are the role models. Those are the ones that should be on the outside now because they've learned a valuable lesson, a lesson that they wouldn't want to see any youngster, any youth go through. They're the ones that would try to do their best to prevent this from happening to others because they have been so abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, medically destroyed, psychologically destroyed, spiritually destroyed. Those are the ones who have served their time. They went in years ago for crimes they committed. But the majority of those crimes back then are not half as bad as they are today. Granted, there were some serious, serious, brutal murders back in those days. some of them right on Cape Cod in Truro and Provincetown, some in Boston. When you hear about children being harmed, raped, molested, murdered, it's very difficult to have a forgiving heart. And I can understand that as a parent. But also look at those who committed less violent crimes, even a fatal shot. Some may say it's not a minor crime, no. But it's a minor crime when it's instant and it's not somebody being mutilated. It's not somebody being tortured. And this is what happens with some people who have lost ones through terrible, terrible deaths. But mass incarceration is not like all of the people behind those prison walls doing something that serious. Mass incarceration involves people who were mentally ill and needed help in a facility, not in a prison. Many of them who were addicted, and many addictions as a result of traumas. Many people who never did drugs or alcohol, they vented other ways. They vented through weightlifting, through jogging, through racquetball, through skiing, scuba diving, bowling, tennis. But yet, when something happens in their lives and they're resilient, they can only be resilient for a period of time before, if somebody comes into their lives again, continuously tormenting them, continuously using, abusing, laughing about it. They're going to be so depressed, so weak, that they're not going to be able to do anything. They're not going to be able to think straight. They're not going to be able to keep their focus on work or school. And the situation just keeps getting worse and worse. The depression strengthens. Before you know it, a crime is committed, and they don't even know what had been going on until they snap out of it and they realize what they've done. These are all things that we need to look at. We need to focus on it. We need to think about it. What would happen if you had a loved one you watched being used? You watched it. It happened before your face, before your eyes. And you saw somebody being used, and you didn't want to interfere. You didn't want to seem like you were an interfering person or parent. So you don't say anything until something happens. And everybody has answers, but no one even thinks to ask the person or the parent, what happened? Everybody starts to judge. We have to start looking at other countries, looking at the way they do things. Even their prisons are not like the prisons here. We have prisons that are like Nazi camps, steel bars, cement walls, iron, where other countries, they don't treat the prisoners with numbers. They treat them like humans. They give them names. They joke with them. They laugh with them. They rehabilitate them. In this country, it's all about racism. It's all about hatred. It's all about anger, retaliation. It's all about connections. And there's a lot of people connected in and out of the penal system. Connections. Lawyers are connected. Prison officials are connected, a lot of correctional officers, and I'm not going to say all of them because we got some good correctional officers. We've got some good people out in the communities, but the majority, they're not worth a second look. They're not worth a second thought. They're corrupt, they're abusive, they're hateful, they're racist, connected. And some people of the Jewish, Arab, black, brown, red, beige, whatever the case may be, some of them forget where they came from. Jewish are targeted, yet some consider themselves white and they go against the person of color. Jewish are targeted. African Americans are targeted. Hispanics are targeted. Arabs targeted. Indians targeted. And you know what I look at? Every country has a white and black section. Italy, Sicily is of the darker race. In the Middle East, you have the whiter race and the darker race, and even in Lebanon, in Syria, in a lot of these countries. You've heard of the Black Irish. I never knew it until I was talking to one. But there's all kinds of different complexions in a race, in a culture. People don't want to acknowledge that they are of color. And I often think of the white supremacists, neo-Nazis, skinheads. How do they know they're 100% pure white? They're so busy trying to recruit people to join them in their hatred, in their destruction, that they're probably recruiting people of color and they don't even know it. Because we all have white in our family in this day and age. And there are so many people who are so afraid to admit that they are of color because of what? Rejection or because of fear? I don't know. But there was a young man one time that destroyed a Jewish cemetery. And as it turned out, he had some African-American in him, but he didn't look it. So here he was destroying a Jewish temple, a Jewish cemetery. And when they arrest him, they find out he wasn't even 100% white. So the very people that hate people of color are recruiting people of color to work with them, to go in with them, to destroy people of color. Hey, does that make any sense at all? And even those who are white, many of them don't even know why they hate. It's just that they were brought up in that kind of mentality, with that kind of mentality. They were taught to hate. And unfortunately, all those years they were taught to hate, they were losing the attention of the parent that should be teaching them how to love, a parents that should be loving their children, that should be holding and hugging their children. Instead, they wasted their children's time and their time on teaching their children how to hate. That's the society we live in. That is the society we live in. I feel bad for so many people who think they have all the answers and know nothing. Again, all DNA originates from Africa. All DNA originates from Africa. Then we have the equator. Many people who live near the equator are going to be of color. The higher you go up above, the whiter you get. And then you have all the movements, the French, the English, dominating the African countries. So you come across here to this side of the world, and you have Brazil. You have French Guyana. You have English Guyana. You have Suriname. You have Colombia, you have Peru, Argentina, Chile. You have Panama, you have Nigeria, you have El Salvador, you have Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Mexico. You've got so much, even in the United States, so much division, but yet so much unity. there's so many different cultures in this country, which we should be enjoying. We should be enjoying these cultures because we all stand to learn something from them. Maybe there wouldn't be so many wars if we were trying to understand another's culture. Some parents believe in spanking their children, and it never hurt us when we were growing up. But today they let their children do anything they want. And as those children grow up, they're not only growing up with some kind of psychological problems, but they're growing up to affect other people's children, children of others who were taught right from wrong, children who would take the shirt off their backs to help somebody else, but yet they get involved with people that were taught to hate, that were brought up in dysfunctional families that didn't know how to love. So many people have died unnecessarily because of parents who didn't know how to love their children because they were so focused on the anger and hatred towards others because of the pigmentation of their skin. Prisons in Massachusetts and around the country, the penal system has mass incarceration. We need to do something about it. And every time legislative members come up with this plan for criminal justice reform, for prison reform, to start letting prisoners out, and a few people in society are against it, then all of a sudden it gets put in the back burner. You don't hear anything more about it. People deserve a second chance. When one crime is committed, a sentence should be put in place, but not a life sentence, not a life and without parole sentence, not a death row sentence. People that are innocent, there need to be more programs out there, like Barry Sheck's program, the Innocence Project, the Cardoza Project. They need to be more established, initiated and established to help the wrongfully convicted. First-time offenders, 20 years, 25 years, is just way too much. However, it is more logical, reasonable, than a life and life without parole. And then they put all of these people together. They put all these people together in prisons and cells where they know there's rivals. There are gang rivals they put together. It's as though the prison staff, they like this gladiator type activity going on. They put these people in cells together, wrongfully convicted with convicted, serial killers and terrorists, with people serving life for a first offense or wrongfully convicted. There's no logic in their thinking. This is our government in the United States of America. Instead of putting people in prisons according to their crime, according to the number of times they've been incarcerated, they just throw them all in like cattle. They don't care because they're making money off of prisoners. And how many of prison officials and COs have benefited off the property of prisoners? When these prisoners, when their loved ones send them things or send them money to buy things so that they will have something to feel human behind those prison walls. But yet the staff confiscate it and many of them keep it. These are things that are going on behind the prison walls. And I'll tell you, advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth nationwide in all the years that I've done this, I have learned that there are people in prison that could be in political positions. They could be in the state house, and they could be doing a lot better than a lot of our legislative members. There's a lot of them in prison who have a heart and they don't contact you just when they want votes. A lot of these incarcerated individuals, if given an opportunity, could be working in the prison, doing so much good. But we have legislative members that think if you have a child, a son or daughter behind those prison walls, no matter what your position is, you could be a counselor, you could be a social worker, you could be a teacher, paralegal, lawyer, you could be anything. But if you have a child behind those prison walls, some of them even talk down to you. Some of them treat you like you're a nobody. That's because they are so weak and insecure that they want to feel important. So they look down on someone that is going through something, struggling, in critical times, hard to deal with, as it says in the Bible. I just hope and pray that all of you listening will share this message. We'll start sharing anything that you get from me or anyone else that's doing the research for positive resources. Don't just like it. Share it. Make these things go viral. And when you see or hear of any injustice going on in your communities, in the prisons, make sure it gets out there, because people do not know unless they see it, unless they read about it. We have all these people, producers, people in media, making all kinds of movies, violent movies based on things that have happened in the communities. Who wants to watch it? I wouldn't want to watch it. There's so much going on around us. The prisons are full because of all these. Yet these people are making all kinds of money making movies about it. And we have sick people out in the communities that will pay all kinds of money to go and see stuff like this. Yet they cry death or life without parole or life sentences when they commit it. If people are that against crime and violence, then they need to stop looking at it in the movies, paying lots of money just to see all this violence and grim stuff. Because there's others out in the community who have psychological problems that are going to take what's being shown on television, and they're going to go out and they're going to do it. And mass incarceration will continue, and it will keep escalating because of sick people out there that want to watch these violent movies and these producers that are making so much money off of these violent movies that they get from actual crimes. That's why the United States is in such turmoil. That's why the United States is so divided and angry and frustrated and vengeful, because they watch it too much. They see it in the communities. They hear about it in world news when it happens, and even in other countries, when there's wars, when there's terrorist attacks. We have terrorism in this country. We saw that in Washington. We saw that at the Capitol. And yet there was not as much media attention as to the sentences of all of these people that did it. There was not even that much attention on those poor Capitol police officers that were not only attacked, but committed suicide after. There was not much attention at all. You know why? Because these were good police officers. These were good police officers that risked their lives and then took their lives because of violent terrorists, domestic terrorists in this country. Yet you don't hear a lot about that. But we've been listening every single day. It's getting so disrupting, just disgusting. Every single day you turn the news on about the committee and about the insurrection at the Capitol. Yet the one that they keep saying was the main causes, the ones that were the main causes, are still out there. One of them's going to be running again, the main character. It's going to be running again. in politics. And here, he's actually said everything he has to say about his hatred for everything. The committee knows it, and yet they're too afraid to do anything about it. The media was asking them one time, one of the members, the political members, why don't you just arrest them? Are there going to be any criminal charges? Are there going to be anything? The politician couldn't even respond. Could not even respond. So then you look at people in the communities looking for a strong leader. May not be the best leader, but he's a strong leader because he keeps going like a Duracell battery. Well, our current leader is passive. Speaks low, spends all the money in other countries, but this country's falling apart. Think about it, audience. I want everybody to think about what's going on in this country. And think about these poor people that grew up hating others without a cause, simply because their parents taught them hatred towards others that are different. And I still say Donald Trump never knew love because he came from a parent who had so much hatred in him towards people of other races. A parent that was all about money and not about love. And we saw that with our former president and his wife when they were walking and that young man, their child, was walking behind them. No one holding his hand, no one showing any kind of love, kids looking lost. These are the kind of situations when they don't know how to love, which shows that they come from a history of parents that didn't know how to love them, but knew how to teach them hatred for others. Think about it, audience. Think about it. And ask yourself, did you come from that type of background? If not, can you stand to see others that are suffering because of it? All I can say is try to do something. Try to do something positive. Try to help others. Try to make change. Try to share resources that you're getting. Try to share anything that you think is going to let people know, bring awareness. But most of all, thank God that you're still alive. Thank God that he has blessed you to be able to do something for those lost lambs. Because there are lambs amongst the wolves behind the prison walls, as well as in your homes, in your families, in the communities. Try to do something positive. Because if not, you're going to lose the blessings that you have been given. And I'm going to end it with that. Thank you all for listening in. And may you have some wisdom to know what's right from wrong. Goodbye.